Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber. I mean, almost 24 hours now after learning the unfortunate news at the age of 73, Dame Olivia Newton-John having passed away yesterday.
It really affected people, didn't it?
It certainly did.
I saw Toddy Goldsmith on A Current Affair last night, barely keeping it together. She was the niece of Olivia Newton-John's. Really, you know, did very well in the interview, but very upset.
Oh, it's touched everybody. And I said, you know, just looking through Facebook yesterday, I went, oh, God, everyone in my feed was posting saying that she was an icon, she was such a legend they looked up to. And, you know, it was just everywhere. Like, even today, like, the West Australian have a 12-page wraparound of Olivia Newton-John on the paper and then another 3 pages of her inside the paper.
Yeah.
One of those people who, you know, a star in his own right, but obviously, you know, one of the biggest names in pop culture coverage here in the country is Richard Wilkins from The Today Show. And I think he really encapsulated what Australia was feeling yesterday on the show. Richard, good morning, mate.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, going well, thank you. Look, we just want to say we appreciate your time so much. It must be... We saw the vision and the audio of you on the Today Show on what must be just an incredibly sad day for a lot of people, but in particular yourself, Olivia Newton-John being such a close friend of yours.
Well, she was, and it obviously is a deeply sad time, but it's not just me or her fans or her family. I mean, she was someone who really did touch the world, and the world... It's the world's loss, not just our loss. She was a remarkable person, and it's we knew this day was coming, but it's still a shock when it happens.
Richard, we all get the impression that we all feel we knew Olivia because it seemed like what we see is what we get. Was she exactly that person in private?
Yeah, you did know Olivia. If you thought she was a beautiful, generous, wonderful, giving, caring, talented person, then you got her. In one, she was all of that and more. You know, she was immensely proud of her many achievements, you know, the Grammys and becoming a Dame and her love affair with this country that she adopted. She knew what she'd done, and I used to ask her a lot. I went sort of like a cliche question at the end of an interview. I said, "Do you know how much you're loved, Olivia?" And she'd say, "Yeah, I do, and I feel it." And she did, and she. Through her many battles that we all followed, she went through it all with so much grace and dignity, and we were all sort of rooting for her. And when she went into remission or was dealing and living with the cancer that had to some degree, you know, crippled her life and her career, we were there with her, and somehow she seemed bulletproof, and she'll make it through. And she gave so many people so much hope, You know, I think everyone sort of felt that. There was nothing bad about her. Mm. It was all good.
Richard, our condolences to you and, of course, to her other friends and family. And despite the sadness of this day, it's a life to be celebrated because, boy, oh, boy, she conquered the world. And I certainly remember as a kid, you know, watching crazy clips on Countdown on roller skates with Xanadu or whatever it was, singing some of Peter Allen's beautiful work. She had a voice that touched us, and as you say, that warmth that she seemed to have so very naturally came through the screens to us at home.
That's all true. You're obviously much younger than me because I remember those early songs when she had those The Banks of the Ohio and, you know, Have You Ever Been Mellow and all those early songs that you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But she had that string of hits back in the day, and then, you know, she was British born, came here, lived her life here, and then went back to the UK and then based herself in the States. And she was the epitome of the all-Australian girl next door. She didn't sound British. She sounded like us. And when she set up her store, Koala Blue, on Melrose Ave in the heart of Los Angeles, it was a mecca for Aussies who were going over there. She sell Vegemite and all that stuff and all Aussie things. And it was the time when Hoag's was, you know, throw another shrimp and Australia was winning the America's Cup. And she was at the front and center of that love affair that the world had with Australia. And, you know, the world never lost that love affair with Olivia. I hosted the G'day USA events over there for, you know, a dozen years or so. And I always introduced to saying, The last time I introduced Olivia Newton-John, I said she was the most popular Australian on the planet, and nothing's happened since then to make me change my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, please, well, you know, and she would walk out, and the audience would stand as one and give her the standing ovation that she regularly and deservedly enjoyed. She was so much. She would, if you could bottle that stuff, you'd make a fortune.
Yeah, indeed.
Kimber, my colleague here, we were talking about this earlier, that she was such a wonderful ambassador for our country without being kind of jingoistic or anything like that. Of course, we all know Hoggs with his great campaign, but she seemed to do it with real class, and we were all so proud of her.
Exactly. Well, she would turn out for any of those events. I was talking to Julie Bishop this morning, who was a foreign minister, you know, in recent times, and who... She said, you know, whenever Olivia was always top of the wish list, and she would always, if she was in the country and could be there, she would be. She loved this country and she wanted it to, you know, thrive. And this is where she set up the Cancer and Wellness Centre at the hospital, Austin Hospital, sorry, in Melbourne. You know, she made that happen. People, tens of thousands of people will benefit from that over the next however many years, well, forever, because of one woman's tireless efforts. You know, she battled politicians and bureaucracy to get this thing made and built and staffed and funded. She did that. You know, it wouldn't have happened if Olivia wasn't on the planet. And she, how about that for a legacy right there?
Incredible legacy. Richard, you mentioned at the top of this chat that you knew this was coming. And people knew this was coming. And I feel like I woke up this morning and got an absolute shock. And it wasn't a case of, oh, my goodness, this woman who's touched all of our lives so much over the past, you know, 30, 40, 50 years and so on and so forth has passed away. But more a case of was battling her illness to a degree that I don't feel we knew in the public.
I think people around her, and it wasn't something, I think she'd earned the respect that she was given. You know, she wasn't the subject of tabloid reports. There wasn't scuttlebutt written about her and, you know, around the place here or anywhere else in the world. I think people, those that knew her well, and those that were close to her knew that this was a struggle that this thing wasn't going to get better, you know? And she was dealing with it, and her beautiful husband, John, you know, with the medicinal cannabis and whatnot, which, you know, you don't think of Olivia and cannabis necessarily in the same sentence, but that it was that stuff that that obviously took some of the pain away. And those around her knew that, you know, the end was maybe a couple of years she's been, you know, struggling. But I agree with you. We all knew this day was going to come, but when it does come, it still hits you like a Mack truck.
Yeah.
Richard, just one thing before we let you go. And again, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning, knowing just how close you were to her and just how sore it must be this morning to be living through this moment. But, you know, we've got a really large, like, audience here at Mix in terms of, like, you know, cross-section of generations. And, you know, if there's a few young people listening to this morning going, you know, my goodness, who is this woman? What's the one thing that you would say to them to go and watch of hers to get an understanding of just how impactful she was in Australian pop culture?
Well, I think, you know, you could start with Greece, obviously, and those images. I was just talking to my son Christian. He was saying those images are as indelible of her in the black, you know, pants or her sitting on the swing singing Hopelessly Devoted. Those images from Greece are as indelible as any images in any other movie you can think of, I would suggest. So, you know, to young people listening, she was a great gal. She was a great talent. You try singing along to Hopelessly Devoted, it's a hard song to sing, and she nailed it every time she did. And she gave her life every last breath she had, and she made a difference. She was a great artist, a great person, and she's a really great loss.
Richard Wilkins, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your stories of Olivia Newton-John with us this morning. And we're sending you our love, mate. Good on you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Cheers.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, Chappelle Corby's been in the news recently. She posted a kind of a strange photo saying that she was looking for love with holding hands with a silhouette, presumably an ex-partner, perhaps.
Yeah, her ex-boyfriend. She's just split up with her boyfriend of 16 years.
Wow.
So same dude that she's been with the whole time, met him in Bali, been together a long time. They've gone Splitsville.
Okay.
And she's gone, hook me up with someone else.
Well, and my wife, T, said, I wonder if Chappelle Corby could be the next Bachelorette. And we went, oh, wow, that would be interesting casting.
Mm.
Well, on Perth Now Today, they've picked up on the story. I don't know, you know, if we've got Alexa.
Did your wife let them know?
I don't know, maybe. But I mean, it'd be interesting if she was the next Bachelorette, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, when she was going to be on SAS Australia, people were like, oh, Chappelle, whatever. Watched one ep and went, I think I'm in love with Chappelle. She's great.
Yeah.
And then she was gone from the show very quickly.
Now, I mean, I think she still professes her innocence. Of course, she was caught for smuggling cannabis into Indonesia. And, you know, whether she did or she didn't, that kid went through hell and was jailed for a long, long time. And of course, it wasn't just that punishment. The press have had a field day with her private life throughout.
Yeah.
So she's served her time. She's done it tough and she deserves love and happiness. And I'm thinking, you know, even the worst people in history deserved love. And maybe it was a lack of love that made them the worst people in history. You don't know. So I was thinking about, you know, potential bachelors or kind of what the dating profiles of some of the worst might have been like. So, for example, you know, Ned Kelly.
Hello, my name's Ned Kelly, famous bush ranger. I'm looking for someone to love. Very important that she keeps herself to herself. Can't be talking to the police or the troopers. I guess someone who was interested in smithing, as in blacksmithing ironwork, would be great. But look, if you just turned up at the date with a Canon WD-40, I'm sure we'd be off to a great start.
I mean, yeah, handsome, nice accent.
Yeah.
You know.
Just mild gunfire in the background.
Yeah.
I thought it was basketball. Sorry.
It does sound like that.
Who would have thought? Said the local rec centre just, you know, shooting hoops.
But, you know, everyone deserved love. And I know there are Harry Potter fans out there who, for them, Voldemort is the arch enemy and should never see the light of day again. But surely he deserves love.
Hello. Voldemort here. Although you probably shouldn't say my name or you'll be cursed. I'm also known as the Dark Lord, but I know that sounds like a bit of a downer. I am lovable, and I'm looking for someone to love. Let's address the elephant in the room, my nose. It's what it is. I had a bit of work done that didn't go so well, so lesson learnt. No more using Dr. Kingsway. Not that will be easy anymore, as I've turned him into a frog. I guess I'm someone who people seem to misunderstand. But if you've got patience and love in your heart, then get in touch with me, Voldemort. As long as you're not Harry Potter.
You know, why not? Swipe right.
Sure.
On that one. Yeah. And probably one of the worst, a gentleman by the name of Vlad the Impaler who, well, he impaled quite a lot of people.
I mean, it was really what it said on the tin.
Yeah, quite. In fact, I think he's got that in his profile.
Hi. I'm Vlad the Impaler, and I'm looking for love. I like long walks on the beach. Sunsets and impaling people. I guess I do what I say on the can. I'm looking for a lady who has a good sense of humor, a social drinker. And sure, if they're into impaling people, that would be great, but it's not a deal breaker. If I look like someone you could fall in love with, then get in touch.
Love, it's a powerful thing. It can turn us all around.
Aww.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Guys, Olivia Newton-John, she leaves behind an incredible legacy.
Yeah, it's not just 100 million albums and 4 Grammys. She has done a huge amount of work for cancer.
Yeah, and diagnosed with breast cancer multiple times through her life, and so has continued that charity, donated a lot of money and also been the ambassador for that.
Mm.
And so we thought this is a great opportunity to talk about breast screenings and getting yourself checked. I know it was only, probably less than 2 years ago, where we went on a trip for work. Maddie went up to Coral Coast and back. And that day when I got back, I arrived, put the luggage home, and my mum came over and my mum said, "I've got something to tell you. I've been diagnosed with breast cancer." And I remember it just feeling like such a big, thwack.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say or do and how to handle that situation. And so thankfully my mum has agreed to come on air and have a chat with us this morning. Hi, Mumsy.
Hi, everyone. How you going?
Good, Chris. Well, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. I actually have to see my oncology surgeon in a few weeks' time, but my last mammogram was clear.
Right.
And that was always a relief. And I think Olivia Newton-John did so much, and I think as a result, sad as her death is, I think it will actually also probably encourage a lot of women to suddenly think, maybe I should go and get myself checked. It's rather sad, but sometimes these things trigger people to do things that they've been delaying. And I know when I always got my notification to go and have the mammogram, I always booked it straight away. And I had friends after I was diagnosed and they said, oh yeah, I got that notification. Oh yeah, I just stuck it on the fridge. Mm. Go and get it done. Mm.
Yeah.
So it does save lives. And I was fortunate. Mine was caught very early and I didn't have to have major surgery, but it was a lumpectomy and I had radiation. And at this stage, I stay clear. So, I expect no problems, but life can change. You just never know. But a lot of people just ignore and don't follow through.
Mm.
Mama Cahill, it's Pete here. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm going well, thank you. It's great to hear your voice. The thing is like that I think about with regards to this is just how many lives, unfortunately, cancer touches. Because my dad battled it last year and thankfully came out all right. You know, it's gone through our family many, many times. And my nonna on my mum's side, unfortunately, passed away from it. She battled it a good couple of times as well. And it's just one of those things that it just seems to be all around us all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And the support network is amazing when you think about the options that are available to people. With cancer, particularly with breast cancer or people with general cancer surgeries, they have a program called Look Good, Feel Better, which is to help people after they've been on a cancer journey and to show them if they've had chemotherapy that they lose their hair, their eyebrows, the whole bit, and they actually go into the hospitals and they teach men and women how to look after their skin, but also to be able to put a face back on so that they feel better about themselves. And that's a voluntary organisation that a lot of people aren't aware of.
There's so many things that everyone's trying to do. And I think, Mum, you know, we're always spruiking. It's about getting screened and getting checked and early.
Absolutely.
You know, this happened a couple of years ago to me with cervical cancer. I was the poster child for getting early screenings because doing that meant they did the surgery straight away. Mm. The surgery was so successful, it meant that I didn't have to have any further cancer treatments.
Yeah.
It was really important. And Mum said the same straight away. She went, I went and got my screening done immediately because you did too. And then that's when we got that news.
Sure.
And so, we're very lucky to be able to tell Mum's story the way that we can. But I think we want to encourage you, if you need a breast screen, that Breast Screen WA is providing free screening mammograms to WA women 40 years or over. So it used to be 50 and they've brought it down.
For a very good reason.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's been lots of younger people that are suffering from it. And so if you've got no breast symptoms, every 2 years you can get that free test. And so we're going to put links up on our Mix social so you can find out how to get that information. And
so important for self-examination because that's the most important thing because not all lumps can be found. Mine couldn't be found. It was in a spot you would never know about, near my ribs of all places. But people do need to check, and even if you're young, you still need to check. And anything that's unusual, always go and get it checked out. They do an ultrasound, or you don't have to have a mammogram sometimes. Yeah. But certainly, and they're not that bad to have. People think, oh, they hurt, they're nasty. No, that you know, it's a simple thing. It doesn't take very long, but it can save your life.
Thank you, Mumsy. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, that's all right. You all have a great day. It's such sad times to get together and talk, but certainly Olivia's done a lot around the world to push the cause for women to look after their bodies. So, very sad. We'll all miss her. Yeah.
Good to speak to you, Mama Cahill.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Aww, and you can tell that mother and daughter, by the way, they were finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah. it's just gone 8 o'clock. As we mentioned, if you've just heard that, you thought to yourself, you know what, I want to go and get myself checked. Check out the Mix socials and we'll put all the links up there for all the information you need.
Of course. And if it doesn't affect you, but you might have been affected through others or this reaches you, then you can help fund research into breast cancer treatment and care by checking out Breast Cancer Research Care WA online.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Right now, we're going back to Matt's home country.
What?
We're going back to Poland.
Are we?
Oh, Czech.
He's like, wait, do I know any Polish anymore? Now, a museum. When I travel around the world, I do like to go to museums and art galleries. It's one of the preferred things I choose when I'm traveling. But this museum on Poland's Baltic coast, it's Fort Gerard or Fort Gerard. A former Prussia fortress.
Oh, yeah.
It's a military museum. They're saying they've got about 1,000 exhibits, lots of different old artifacts and things there. And
well, one's been invaded more times than Poland. They've got lots of military history there.
They've got a lot of history, but they've also got a bit of an unusual problem going on there.
What's
because
that?
Museum visitors have been caught many times getting a bit randy.
Oh.
Museum.
Don't do that voice, please. Don't.
Over the military
artifact.
Don't do the voice. It's hard enough as it is.
Management tried signs. They put signs up saying, our guests are kindly requested, how can we put it, no Ars Amandi in the museum, which means no art of love.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful word?
No art of love in the museum, please. They've had to fit CCTV cameras because so many people are getting it on at the museum in Poland.
No arse, Amandi.
So is it because they're turned on by military artifacts?
Well, we don't know. This is the thing. I love that they have put it down to, they've said, look, the museum items were born many years ago and are accustomed to different norms. Conservative and orthodox, so please not expose. Please do not expose them to discomfort.
No.
But they say they think it might be the dark corners and that maybe there is a dark, lustful energy or a chakra in the area.
Yes.
Those places do attract that sort of behaviour, though.
Really? People, have you ever been to a museum and thought, this is the spot?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, have a look at that Prussian sword. That's lovely. Oh, yes.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Hey, we were talking before about that Qantas flight that got hit by lightning. And, it made me think about, I was very lucky in my younger years to do lots of travelling when I lived in the UK, lots of flights back and forth, between Perth and whatever, Melbourne and London. And that jet lag that you get from those 24-hour flights when you're in cattle class. And I remember getting into Rome Airport. And there was only one dude on the counter and standing in a line for about 2.5 hours and thinking, I'm going to fall asleep on my feet.
Yes.
And probably collapse in this line and be taken away as, some ne'er-do-well that, couldn't stay away.
And it's a yucky feeling too, jet lag, because it's sort of like nothing pleases you. You don't know if you want something to eat, drink, sleep. Like it's that frustrating, I just feel, and I can't fix it.
What's funny is that dude that you're speaking about in Rome, because we went to Rome maybe, a few, just 4 or 5, still there.
Same dude.
Same dude, same one dude.
Well, look, I come with solutions this morning to that problem of jet lag.
Oh.
And I turn to Miranda Kerr, our very own Miranda Kerr. Now, admittedly, she is coming off a first-class version of the flight. So whilst I've been stuck there next to a really big guy who needs to go to the toilet 8 times during the flight, she's basically had a shower, she sat at the bar, had a cocktail, had a good sleep in one of those pods where you can essentially stretch out entirely. But still, she's a human being too, and she's been affected by the change of time. She said that the best way to get over jet lag, what she does, is immediately, as quickly as possible,
get her shoes off and walk barefoot in some grass to reconnect with the earth.
Right.
And apparently that, with a bit of melatonin, will really see your jet lag go.
Sounds like someone who's in first class.
Do you know what? It's actually not the first time I've heard it.
Really?
That's it.
Really?
Not the first time I've heard it.
Are you kidding?
No.
Where'd you hear it before?
I don't know. I think it's a thing. I almost am going to Google it.
Oh,
but
look,
I think there's something about that idea of grounding your feet. In fact, I've heard other people say not even at the grass, but at the airport, like you can do it on carpet.
Just take your shoes off.
It's about taking your shoes off and getting your feet and grounding back in.
Oh, my cynicism doesn't come from that. I mean, I'm a great... Well, I rarely wear shoes at the best
That's
of
true.
Time. I do go... I literally go and hug trees because I do believe in all that. I just don't know. I buy it from someone who's had lobster and caviar. You know, I don't know. I mean, I love you, Miranda, but I don't know if you can relate to the life that I've led. That's all.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Hello, Tomas.
Tomas.
Oh. Tomas.
Hello.
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 And that's all we have time for. It's been great, Tommy. Thanks.
It's been fun for me and even funner for the people in the public park that I'm standing in watching me go, hello, hello.
Why are you in a public park at this point in time? What's going on?
Because I got a coffee and I'm standing in a park, and it's one of the rare occasions that Melbourne's sun is shining.
Oh, and you're just sort of celebrating that before you get to Perth and put on a big old show for us.
Man, I can't wait. It has been forever. And I cannot wait to get in front of your beautiful West Australian people.
Hang on, are you just saying that you're going to be really rusty? Like, get up there and it's been ages since I've done a gig, guys.
No, no. I mean, I've been doing gigs constantly. It's been ages since I've been to WA.
Oh, right.
What do you miss about us, Tommy? What do you miss about us?
Everything. I miss your carefree attitude. Uh-huh. I miss your warm smiles. Yeah. I miss your promise of good weather, but then whenever I get there, it's always bad weather.
Tommy, I mean, you know our city now, so it's not like a comedian coming to Perth and then going, hey, quick, tell me, where are the dodgy suburbs and who do I throw in for these references? You know our city. Are there any surprises for you? Has anything in Perth shocked you over the last few years?
I mean, the fact that Northbridge just stays the same has surprised me. Like, even because I remember when that art centre wasn't there, and then even putting in like the most beautiful theatre in the world, the Heath Ledger Theatre is one of the most stunning in the world. Mm. And then still you walk outside, nope, punch on Central, let's go.
I would say stabbings are down lately, though. Like, that's a positive about Northbridge.
Yeah, but that's because of the arts. That's culture right. Changing.
God bless the arts.
It's the only part of Perth that makes us feel like we're a world city.
Yeah, it's hard to stab someone with a falafel in your hand, isn't it?
Yeah. Mate, we are looking forward to having you here. How are things going over there in general for you? Everything going all right?
Oh, awesome. I just got back from Montreal, playing the biggest comedy festival in the world over there.
Tommy, how do you find it in Montreal? My apartment, I used to live in Montreal, and my apartment was directly above the Just for Laughs theatre. And so saw a lot of gigs. But the thing with people in Montreal is they love a bit of skin, and they stare at you a lot if you've got your skin out, like in a sort of a sexual, non-sexual way. Do you find that about the people of Montreal?
Well, this is a really hurtful moment for me because I was walking around practically nude and not one eye wandered my way. And I assumed, oh, they must be frigid. But now I'm just finding out they've got some of the sleaziest eyes in the world. And even then, they wouldn't have a peek at my package.
Tommy, does Montreal have a kind of a Northbridge area where they stab you for your falafel, but they do it in a kind of classy French way?
They do, and they go, je suis désolé, as the blade sinks into your skin. They go, that's fine. Shut up and kiss me. That's absolutely okay. It's way more French than I ever knew it was going to be. Everything is French. There's no signs in English. It's all in French. And I learned very quickly not to say bonjour, because everyone says bonjour. And I thought, I'll get involved here, and I'll say bonjour. Of course, then they assume you're French and go speak French to you, and then you have to go, whoa, slow down, sorry. Hello. Hello is what I should have said. And please speak to me like an idiot in English.
Also, just an observation that I noticed that the only thing you could say in French was kiss me, which is also the only thing I learned in Spanish.
Ooh, I mean, I said I'm sorry.
Oh, I misheard you. Sorry.
Which means, Kimber, you've been kissing people for a lot of wrong reasons.
and that's how we end up in court.
Yes, and then they say, trying to say, I'm sorry, you misunderstood, and you just got to kiss them again and again and again.
Mates, can't wait to have you here. It's going to be a belter this weekend. Good to catch up with you, Tommy. We'll catch you this afternoon from 3.
Can't wait. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you, bye.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Hello.
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 Goodbye.
Goodbye.